You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. Next up, a much-anticipated study was published this week. It's the largest study to date comparing treatments for teens with depression. The study compares the effectiveness of the antidepressant Prozac with a form of talk therapy called cognitive behavior therapy. And the comparisons are made when each are taken alone or when they are given together. Now, why such interest in the medical and patient communities? Well, first off, because depressed adolescents currently are being prescribed drugs that have only been tested in adults, and because there's some concern that these drugs could affect children differently. And second, because there have been reports in recent months that giving children these antidepressant drugs could actually trigger suicidal thoughts and adverse behavior. So this study, published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, was done at 10 clinical sites across the country with more than 400 depressed teens and was funded by the National Institute of Mental Health, the NIH. We're talking now with the leader of the research team about the study and what it means for the treatment of depression in teens. And if you'd like to get in on that discussion, give us a call. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. Dr. John March is a professor of psychiatry and the chief of child and adolescent psychiatry at Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina. He joins us today from a studio on the campus there. Welcome to the program, Dr. March.
Pleasure to be here, Aaron.
Tell us about the study. Describe what you did in a nutshell, if you can, for us.
Well, we took 439 teenagers, aged 12 to 17, all of whom had a diagnosis of major depression, all of whom were actually quite sick, and we randomly allocated them, flipped a coin, and sent them on to one of four different treatments that you already mentioned: treatment with fluoxetine, medication alone, brand name Prozac; treatment with cognitive behavioral psychotherapy, a depression-specific form of counseling; the combination of the two treatments, fluoxetine with CBT, and we compared those three active treatments with a control condition, a sugar pill, pill placebo.
And the results?
Treated the kids then for 12 weeks.
Yes, I'm sorry. And the results showed what?
Well, it was actually quite interesting. We hypothesized that the combination treatment, the two treatments together, would do best. The two individual treatments, fluoxetine and CBT, would tie, and that all three of the active treatments would beat placebo. What we found, as expected, was that the combination treatment was the big winner. 71% of the kids got better. Fluoxetine was pretty close second. 61% of the kids improved with fluoxetine. CBT, on the other hand, the counseling treatment, was statistically no different than placebo. 43% of the kids got better with CBT as compared to 35% on the sugar pill.
Hmm. And you also found that there was an increased incidence using the drug therapy of behaviors, adverse behaviors in the children?
Well, there's been a suggestion for a number of years that in some kids treated with the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, medicines like fluoxetine, Prozac, that the drugs might elicit suicidal thinking or suicide-related behaviors. What we found in our study extends that literature by a considerable bit. First, we found that that the combination of fluoxetine with CBT is the only treatment that reduces suicidal thinking. Fluoxetine essentially ties with placebo in terms of, of its effect on suicidal ideation. That means that the drug isn't causing kids to get suicidal in the sense of thinking thinking about suicide,
right,
or suicidal ideation. On the other hand, we also found that if you got an SSRI, the SSRI fluoxetine, serotonin reuptake inhibitor fluoxetine, that that you were more likely to do something. Not by much. Only about 10% of the kids, a little over 30 of the kids actually had one of these harm-related events. But they were a bit more likely if you got fluoxetine. Interestingly, they were less likely if you got fluoxetine with CBT than if you got fluoxetine alone. So it looks like getting CBT also exerts a protective effect. At least the trend suggests it may exert a protective effect in terms of doing something to hurt yourself.
Well, describe what doing something to hurt yourself consists of.
Well, it's hard in a study, even one as big as this one, to get a statistically significant difference between two groups around rare events. So we didn't find anything for suicide directly. What we found was harm-related events, and these included things like cutting yourself without any intent to die, so there was no suicidality. But sometimes kids, when they get distress, scratch or cut themselves. Kids who had suicidal thinking, but without doing anything. So they might say, I want to die, I want to kill myself, but they actually didn't do anything. And then there were kids who did something, for example, took an overdose of pills. We only had in the study seven youngsters who actually made a suicide attempt, and there were no completed suicides.
And you found that you said that when you gave Prozac alone, it did not increase the number of suicides, but did it decrease the desire for suicides?
Well, it's a very important point, actually. About a third of the sample had clinically significant suicidal ideation at the beginning of the study. So this was a pretty sick bunch of kids at the start of treatment. All four treatment groups came down considerably with respect to suicidal ideation. So on average, with treatment, even with pill placebo, suicidal thinking gets better. We found that fluoxetine was no different than pill placebo with its respect to its impact on suicidal thinking. That means it doesn't cause suicidal thinking, but it doesn't cause it to get any better than a sugar pill.
Yeah.
Whereas
so,
the combination of fluoxetine and CBT clearly reduces suicidal thinking.
So if you don't take the if you don't take the therapy with the Prozac, it's not going to really decrease the suicidal thinking. That's what the study shows.
That's right, relative to placebo.
Hmm. What is a cognitive behavior therapy? Because I know we hear of counseling, but is that a strict set of therapy protocols that a trained specialist knows how to do? Or is it just general talking to the teenager?
Another very good question. The way I describe it is most people are familiar with physical therapy. So let's say you blotch your anterior cruciate in your left knee playing basketball. You would rehab that left knee with a very specific physical therapy designed to strengthen the muscles and ligaments around the knee. That physical therapy would be different than if you blew out your rotator cuff in your shoulder, say trying to roll your kayak. CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, is essentially the same sort of a treatment, except in this case for mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very specific set of interventions targeting the thoughts and the behaviors and the family conflicts that are related to the beginning and the maintenance of depression in teenagers, in the same way that we'd have a very specific treatment for cognitive behavioral treatment for, say, social phobia or mm-hmm. for attention deficit disorder. Mm-hmm. These are treatments that are very tightly coupled to their targets, which is why they work so well.
And since our listeners are going to want to find out where to get that kind of treatment if their children are going to be taking some sort of antidepressive drug, can you actually search for a physician who knows how to do this or offers CBT with Prozac or another one?
CBT is relatively uncommon as compared to the other kinds of talk therapies. The best way to find someone who is expert at CBT is to go to the American Association for the Advancement of Behavior Therapy website, AABT, and they list providers that are trained in CBT.
Hmm.
The Anxiety Disorders Association of America or the Depression Bipolar Support Alliance, ADAA or DBSA, also have referral networks of providers trained in these mechanisms. Very often, if you're near a university, you can find someone who's trained in CBT in the university setting.
And so if you're a physician or if you're a patient and your child, let's say, your child is a patient and is with a psychiatrist who is dispensing Prozac, let's say, but doesn't offer this kind of cognitive behavior therapy, you'd be better to find one who does.
Either that or to have your treating psychiatrist pair up with a psychologist or a social worker who is trained in CBT in the same way that an orthopedist would pair up with a physical therapist.
Now, why only Prozac? Prozac, I know, is the only drug that has been okayed by the FDA to be given to children, but we know that kids are getting all kinds of psychiatric drugs these days. Can we not study these other drugs?
It's an interesting question to see whether the TADS trial changes and the FDA recommendations change practice. There are now three robustly positive studies with fluoxetine. So the evidence suggests the evidence that we have is strongest for fluoxetine Prozac. Sertraline, Zoloft, and citalopram, Celexa also have positive trials, whereas the Paxil, paroxetine, and Effexor venlafaxine trials were not positive. I don't want to go too far beyond our data because, we didn't compare any of these compounds head-to-head. But I would suggest just on clinical grounds, this would be my personal recommendation, that starting with fluoxetine at this point, unless there's a compelling reason not to, makes the most sense.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Terry in San Francisco. Hi, Terry.
Hi, thank you. I'm an attorney working for a Democratic state lawmaker, though with this, we're looking at this as in a nonpartisan way in Sacramento. We just held a hearing on August 4th about the concern about antidepressants and suicide. And we're examining this issue, and thank you for having this program today. We know that fully 70% of the prescriptions written for antidepressants are written by what are called PCPs, primary care physicians, many of whom refer the individual on for mental health treatment, whether it's talk therapy or supervision, but many who do not, perhaps under pressure by managed care plans or these medications are given in emergency departments following a suicide attempt. And we also know that many, many of these prescriptions are being written for not for MDD, major depressive disorder, but for trivial, what could be considered trivialized conditions like fingernail biting, PMS, back pain, and that very few families are being told about the risks versus the benefits. And we are very, very concerned. This is one study we need for all physicians who are going to be prescribing these medications to learn about this study, but there are many more studies, including the studies out of the UK, that cause the UK to contraindicate all of these medications except for Prozac in children, and now a new study that's about to come out of Colombia that the initial or preliminary drafts appear to suggest that all antidepressants, including Prozac, are going to be recommended to be contraindicated for all youth except for the case in the case of major depressive disorder. The FDA is holding hearings in September, and the Congress Office of Oversight is holding hearings on September 13th and 14th to try to learn whether the pharmaceutical companies have illegally suppressed information, data, about the negative data in the trials, and in fact demonstrating that in many cases there's a 13-fold increase in suicidal behavior.
Well, in this trial, let's concentrate on this one. Doctor, what is your reaction to that?
Well, some of what was said is accurate, and some of it is not. FDA, I believe, has actually followed quite a thoughtful and prudent course in looking at the an observation that was originally generated by Andy Mossholder regarding increased risk for these events. Columbia actually has not done a study. All they did was, under contract from the FDA, was to reanalyze and code the data blind to treatment status, whether you were getting drug or placebo, for the industry studies. And the TADS data was actually included in that reanalysis. Mm. The FDA then took the Columbia recoding of the data to make sure that it was accurate, because these industry data sets are quite messy, and redid the analysis themselves. And they found results which are actually, I think, going to turn out to be very similar to the results that we found, which is that suicide-related behaviors are actually quite uncommon relative, at least in the case of fluoxetine, to the benefits, the relative risk is going to hover somewhere around 2. So it's a meaningful effect, one that needs to be carefully monitored, but not one that would lead a reasonable practitioner to want to contraindicate the medications. Now, the original observation, which is that most of these medications are prescribed by primary care visits with 15-minute office visits, inadequate evaluation time, and inadequate follow-up, I think is the critical one. And one of the dilemmas in the American mental health system, even if we had rational funding, which of course we don't, would be to find some way to triage kids who belonged in subspecialty settings into those settings and leave the kids in primary care settings who could be managed there, for example, uncomplicated ADHD. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult dilemma, and the heterogeneity of practice, which your listener pointed out, predicts heterogeneity of quality, and we have terrible heterogeneity of quality and, as a result, heterogeneity of outcomes in the mental health landscape, precisely for that reason.
We're talking about Prozac and mental health in the counseling this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. talking with Dr. John March. We have it just a few minutes later, but it seems to be one of the take-home messages of this is if you just give kids if you give kids Prozac, you don't do any follow-up. They may not get any worse, but they're not going to get any better.
Well, it's difficult to evaluate major mental illness in children, adolescents, and adults in a 15-minute visit. Most kids have more than one disorder. The disorders vary a fair bit child to child in the way that they present. People have stories that need to be told and need to feel understood and listened to, and one needs to take a fair bit of time to explain the targets of the treatment, how the treatments should be used, and how to monitor for both the benefits and the risks of treatment. And you simply can't do that in a 15-minute follow-up visit and then follow up a 15-minute visit and follow up at 6 weeks.
What's happening in hearings this fall? Are you part of those hearings?
I am. The FDA had a preliminary hearing, I believe, last February around the question of do the serotonin reuptake inhibitors or antidepressants, which, by the way, are used in other conditions like OCD or anxiety disorders, eating disorders, not just depression, do they cause some kids to become suicidal or commit suicide? There was enough smoke in that question that they commissioned the reclassification of the data at Columbia, and that report is now going to be released shortly and discussed at a second pediatric advisory committee hearing on September 13th and 14th at the FDA headquarters in Washington, and I'll be presenting at that hearing TADS data.
Is cognitive behavior therapy the knowledge of how to do it, is it easy for a psychologist to learn, or it was getting to be more widespread? Because we don't hear very much about it.
It's taught in most training programs these days, but it isn't widely available. The other forms of psychotherapy are much more widely available than CBT, in part because it's a little harder to learn and it's a little harder to do than simply talking about what comes up. But nonetheless, the data that we have suggests that it's more effective than these other forms of therapy and really ought to be widely disseminated.
And it's a 12-week course or longer than that?
12 weeks is pretty typical. 12 to 20 weeks for CBT in the community settings. The TAD CBT was 12 weeks.
So, but it really takes more than 12 to 20. You're saying to really make a difference.
Sometimes we've actually continued treatment out to 36 weeks in these kids, and so we have a lot of additional data that's going to be coming out of the TAD study over the next 2 years.
Oh, so are you following up these kids?
That's right. This was the initial treatment for 12 weeks. Then it goes out for a total of 36 weeks. Then we have a year of follow-up. And we were just funded, actually, to follow them into young adulthood so we can see what the impact of treatment is on into the 20s.
So we'll be able to see as they get older how this stuff is working.
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us. I know a lot of people are interested in this topic.
That is my pleasure. It's a great show.
You're welcome. Dr. John March, a professor of psychiatry and chief of child and adolescent psychiatry at Duke University Medical School in Durham, North Carolina. We're going to take another short break, switch gears, and come back and talk a little bit about an interesting study with a culture of people living in the Amazon who can't count past 3. So how do they count things? Well, it's an interesting study. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break.